Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this beautiful 22nd day of September 2019. We're going to look at the cards are stacked against us, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. What do I mean? Well, we'll talk about our genetics and our DNA here in a few moments. I want to remind you we're in our year-end fundraising drive to keep Aspire on the air. That's what this year-end fundraising is all about, to sustain my efforts at the hospice and the work that I do. There is so much that I do, including our new BATMO project, which will be starting in October, where we're going to be helping children who desperately need help in our area with all sorts of things, including Jacob's Heart, which is a fundraising organization for children who are suffering from catastrophic diseases, and some who leave their body and some who can stay. And there's all sorts of wonderful things that we do to raise money to help these organizations. So your donation spreads out among the community, among people who need help, who need food and clothing even. So I hope that you will help us by becoming a sponsor. A sponsor is someone who makes either a monthly or a quarterly donation to serve humankind in this way. And in doing this, you get the message of the month, access to my podcast, videocast, commentaries, 122 discourses that I did for TV that are all on the website. You can download them at any time you like and enjoy them. In essence, everything is there to serve you in any way, shape, and form you deem important to your life if you're into a spiritual awakening. Now, if you're not, you're not, you know. But if you are, these are very important offerings. So I hope that you will become a sponsor. You can do so today. Our mystery donor, who is a very kind and generous man, I can't even begin to tell you how grateful I am for him. He will match all donations. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see year end, and there's a story there about easy. How easy it is and how we like easy over anything difficult and what the consequences are for that. And you can sign up right there for your sponsorship and or your donation, your year-end donation, and help us out. We really need your support. I hope you will not ignore this. It is vital. The cards are stacked against us. If you look at your life experience here on this earthly plane, you will see that there is a load of things that are happening in our biology that are in opposition to our ideals of life. Even our ideals of a creator, somebody or something, whether you call it God or the universe or whatever, that supposedly created us in the image of his own likeness, as we are told biblically. And basically, you're sent off to live to die. You go out into the world, the moment you're born, you're dying. And sometimes it's speeded up by disease and accidents and unfortunate events. On and on and on it goes. And you got to wonder why. I mean, why am I in this world, you and I, talking about this? I makes no quasi sense to most people why we are here, how long our youth lasts, then it turns on us, and the next thing we know, we're old. We're laying in a bed and dying. And we have all these memories and things of what happened and what didn't happen and what we did and what we didn't do. And most people have a lot of regret about the things they didn't get to do, the things they wanted to do. They don't have any regret sometimes about their lives. I work at hospice, as you know, and a lot of them just, you know, just it's all about what I did, and I had a good life. And I often ask them, how do you know if you had a good life? Well, we went here, we went there, we ate this, we did that. And I often wonder if they understand that they miss the whole experience. When I live for the sake of getting what I want or pleasuring my body or only experiencing my life through the carcass of Greg Penn, who was created by Gene and Ed and their DNA and genetics, how could I ever think I had a meaningful life? Ah, it's like secondhand rose here. So I put out, evidently, some vibes here of the last 6 months about DNA. I've talked a lot about it. And people listening to the radio program catch on to this. Hey, they listen, and then they say, hey, this, hey, that. So I got some hey, this, hey, that for you today. The first question comes from, I will say it's a gentleman, but he does not want me to use his name or obviously where he lives, but he says this. Seems that, generally speaking, the cards are stacked against us. I mean, when you look at DNA and genetics, what chance do we have? What can we do to restore our DNA and genetics and maybe have a longer life? I'm going to call him Mr. Anonymous. Mr. Anonymous, what makes you think you should have a longer life? Why are you putting off death? That's an interesting question. Most people are. Why are you doing that? What makes you think that putting off death is intelligent or even possible? I mean, why do you think that life begins and ends, birth and death in this world, and why we're a part of it? What is it about us and this cycle that is so very important? Yes, the cards are stacked against us. We only have so much time. How did we get to a planet, a place where the only thing that can happen to us is birth and death, birth and death? And whether we know it or not, consciously or unconsciously, we are constantly fighting the process of death. We celebrate this idea of birth. And what is birth? But the chance to live our life deathlessly. But most of us don't. We push the envelope way too far in the wrong direction. We eat the wrong food. We have terrible habits. We do many things against our own health. We do and say things that are unkind, cruel, misleading, that whole thing. It is very, very painful. And the more we do all of this, the more that we think we're living our life. And many people just shrug their shoulders and say, well, I can't do anything about it. Might as well, you know, eat, drink, and be merry and do everything I can to have a good time before I'm dead. And that's a kind of a YOLO attitude, because most people don't understand what they're here for, nor do they want to. I was in seminary many hundreds of years ago, and I was listening to my fellow students giving their quote-unquote sermons, and they were all about how to survive, how to get what you want, and how to survive. And as I sat there, I started to wonder, because I had this since the time I can first remember thinking as a little tyke, what are we here for? What am I doing here? The first thought when I could think, I remember it vividly. I even remember where I was. What am I doing here? I'd be playing, you know, in my room, and all of a sudden it would hit me. Why am I here? What am I doing here? How did I get here? What am I supposed to be doing here? I had all these vivid questions. And of course, if I asked my parents, they had nothing to offer. I could remember my past life. And luckily, my parents did not. This is one of the good things they did. They did not shut me up, or they did not discount it or tell me I was silly. But I could feel very deeply I had come a long way. And here I am. I didn't understand being trapped in this body. I didn't understand why we are all here. And I would ask people, literally, when I was very little, 5, 6 years old, who were you before your parents brought you here? Who were you before you were born? Over and over and over, I would ask these questions. And thank God nobody shut me up or said I was stupid or whatever. They just said, no, I don't know, and shrugged their shoulders. But no one wanted to find out. So as I'm sitting there listening to these people in my my seminary class, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to make a career out of telling people how to survive. I'm 20 years old. What the hell do I know about survival? And I remember walking out of the class and sitting there on the grounds and thinking, this is going to be my career. I've got to finagle a way to teach people how to be rich, how to be healthy without changing. They want you to believe that this is natural, that, you know, being rich and happy and healthy is a natural state. It is for a while, but then it turns on us. And I saw it turn in my mother and my father. My father was dead. My mother had just died. And it gave me pause to think, what the heck is going on in me? This is all going to happen in me. So, Mr. Anonymous, this question you ask is a very powerful question. Yes, the cards are stacked against us. We only have so much time here on the planet. And it isn't time that is the enemy, as it were. It isn't. And I know everybody wants to think, time's the enemy, we got to be careful, blah, blah, blah. No. No, that's not true. It isn't time that's the enemy. It's the collective unconscious. It's joining the collective unconscious. It's the atmosphere of this planet. This is a planet where it's kill or be killed. We are born natural born killers. It is our instinct in our DNA to kill. It is our instinct in our DNA to eat meat. And we are meat eaters. And people will say that is natural. You should eat meat, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to argue that point. You know, you either get it or you don't. But you got to look at the way of this world and understand inside yourself. This is a primitive planet. And it is our genetics and our DNA that we live by. And in doing so, you only have one choice. You either live the way you're living or you transcend. And when I finally figured that out in seminary, that's when my real journey began. And all of a sudden, doors started unlocking for me. And things that I had questioned were now not questioning, but I was questioning them, and they were helping me. And I say the same to all of you. Until you come to a place where you begin to understand why you're here, what you're here for, what the obvious is that your and my ego cannot withstand, until we are ready to really understand what the ego cannot comprehend, we're going to stay in the cycle of birth and death and birth and death. You asked me, what can we do to restore our DNA and our genetics? Well, probably scientifically, it's going to come to a place where we're going to be able to live longer. But that's a problem too, because That means we'll have to have enough money to buy the home, eat the food, da-da-da-da. There's all sorts of issues with all of that. And living longer, avoiding death a little longer, what does that mean? What is that going to do to change human nature? I don't know. That's something I don't know. I have thoughts about it, but they're not worthy of your ears. So there you are, Mr. Anonymous. You either live off the land and die from the land here on Earth, or you transcend both and you live in the love that lives in you. You are the love of this lifetime. And should you understand the meaning of that, then something significant might happen. Thank you for your question. And forgive me, and namaste to you. All right, the next one. This comes from Herbert. He does not tell me where he lives. I have been listening to you for many years, and I find your turn of teachings very interesting. If God gave us the natural instincts, shouldn't we live by them? What can we do? Harold. First of all, I want to thank you for listening. Second of all, these natural instincts that you speak of, which come out of my DNA and genetics, remember, they're instincts to survive. As Darwin talked about this natural selection and survival of the fittest, it's just a matter of survival. And you must question, well, why are we here? I mean, what? I don't get it. Why am I here to survive? Why isn't it being taken care of for me? Why am I not being provided for, let's say? What constitutes a good life? He who has the most wins, is that what constitutes a good life? What is it we're actually doing here? You got to question that. You say, if God gave us natural instincts, what can we do? Transcend them. There is a meaning to this life. Now listen to me and try to understand. There is a meaning to no longer being at the beck and call of our genetic nature, our DNA. There is something very powerful about no longer living to survive. Now, most people would disagree with me on that subject, and I understand. But there is more. It isn't the longevity, I should say, about your life that is important. It's how you and I live. It isn't important that we die. It's important how we die. Those two things are extremely important in the ebb and flow of life, and people forget these things when they're in the throes of trying to survive. People become ruthless. They become ugly. I've been working with this one young man for 8 years, starting in high school, and he is now going into his final years in college, where he is going to get his doctorate. And he asked me, he said, what am I doing all this for? The world is such a, as he put it, a terrible place. He said it's full of wickedness and ravenous people who have no regard for the meaning of life or life itself. They're ruining the ecology, the whole deal of our economics. He said, I'll never pay off this loan, blah, 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 blah. We hear it all the time. We know what he's up against. He said, why am I doing this? And I asked him, why are you doing this? I want to make money. I was sitting with one of my students at lunch one day, And we, his daughter was sitting there who was about to go to college. And I said, well, what do you want to do with your life? What is important? She said, I want a job where I make a lot of money and can live in the style of which I've been accustomed to. And I looked at her and I said, well, what would that be? She said, well, I want to be a doctor. They make a lot of money. Really? You want to be a doctor? So that's what you want, to make a lot of money. Money is about survival. There wasn't any thought of service to humankind, maybe transcending my own or her own idea of life via the work she would be doing of helping people, which would be a lovely thing. And I looked at her and I said, wow, that's pretty unnoble. So tell me, I said, you're going to find that everyone you try to help is going to die or get worse. Some will get better for a while, but then they'll get worse and die. Is it only about the money? And she said, well, you can't do anything about the science. So you just have to do the best you can and make them pay. People want money. And they think money is the sign of success. And so I looked at her and I said, well, one day you're going to have a doctor say to you, well, you know what you have. You know the disease you've encountered here. You only have so many, let's say, years to live or months to live or days to live. How are you going to feel? And she said, well, as long as I have enough money not to know what's happening to me, I won't care. And that's the way young people and many people, not just young, think about it. Knock me out. I don't want to face what it is that I'm going to face, the ravages of the human body. When you look at your life, when you see what your life is all about, then you can come into the facts of living, I guess, and never transcend. You want to do the natural thing? You do the natural thing. You live, you eat, you kill. And we kill in many different ways. Every time we get in our car, we turn on the engine and poof, there goes a little more carbon monoxide. And there's all sorts of things going on. And then, you think about the impact we have had on the planet, each of us, our footprint, as it were. We have all these things going on. You don't think there's going to be repercussions, and people will mindlessly make babies that they can't really afford and can't really deal with, but they'll just keep making the babies. And on and on and on this goes to nauseam. And we never really see. And we call it natural because you're born, you live, you die, and sometimes in the living you make other living things, and then they die, and this cycle just keeps going on and on and on. We never question it. We don't understand it. And we don't want to understand it because it would stress the ego out. So are you going to stress your ego out? Is that really what it's all about? Stressing out your ego? Making it difficult for you to understand what the real meaning of your life is, which is transcendence? You're not here to just have a happy life. You are here to transcend this world and to no longer make it the object of your affection, the object of your happiness. Happiness is a quality of consciousness. It has absolutely nothing to do with circumstances, and few people ever attain to that or even understand it. Harold, thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. Kind of a interesting program, I think. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? What are you going to do with the rest of your day? That's going to be interesting because that's going to be the rest of your life. I'm out of here. We'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.